This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. The preliminary Boston mayoral election is less than a month away now, September 14th. Radio Boston will join WCVB, the Boston Globe, and the McCormick Graduate School of Policy and Global Studies at UMass Boston to bring you a debate among the major candidates on Thursday, September 9th. But ahead of the debate, we are inviting each candidate to our virtual studio to make their case to you. And joining us today, Boston City Councilor Andrea Campbell, representing the city's 4th District. Councilor, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thank you, and thank you for having me.
So, Councilor, I'm going to start off with a question that I'm trying to ask everyone in these conversations. Whoever wins the race will be a first. So why should that first be you? And why are you the right person to lead the city at this moment?
Well, I never jumped into this race to become the first woman or first Black mayor. For me, it was always about the moment in time we were in this city and truly doing the work to address the inequities that we see in the city of Boston while investing in all the things that make us great so we'll continue to be a world-class city. So I jumped into the race back in September and obviously forging ahead, but stressing a few things. One, my lived experience, the very issues that we're talking about, housing affordability, the inequities in our educational system, the public health crises that we are dealing with, not only with respect to COVID, but also the mass and caste crisis. I have lived many of these, and I have talked about the fact that this city gave me everything. Growing up poor in the city of Boston, it took a poor girl out of Roxbury and sent me off to Princeton University. But on the flip side, my twin brother died while in the custody of a state prison. And I've been stressing that this city clearly did not work for him. But the other thing that is distinct about my candidacy is my record of accomplishment. I've done the work of closing the gaps, not only with respect to housing issues in the city of Boston. I've led the way on policing reform. I've put out reports over the years to close the inequities in our education system long before I was a candidate for mayor, which is very distinct than every candidate in this race. And will continue, of course, to do the work, bring a lived experience, but also a substantial record of accomplishment.
Let's go back to your late twin brother, Andre, for a minute. We have talked with you before about him. You noted that he died while in state custody. He had scleroderma. He was 29. You've said that it partially inspired you to run for office. What is the accomplishment that you would need to achieve as mayor of Boston to feel that you had done justice to Andre's legacy?
Well, the one question I asked when I first ran for city council is the same question in this mayor's race, which is how do two twins born and raised in the city of Boston have such different life outcomes? And what I've recognized is that the city gave me everything to achieve my dreams and to become a candidate for mayor. I had access to excellent education. I went to 5 Boston public schools. All 5 were excellent. I lived in affordable housing and had access to good housing growing up in the city of Boston. I'm now a first-time homeowner in Mattapan. So clearly this city gave me access to mobility and economic mobility. At the same time, I had access to good programming as a young person coming up in the city. So there's a whole ecosystem of opportunity that this city gave me. And so if I am successful, it really is ensuring that every resident in the city of Boston, whether they're native born or they got here this morning, has access to that same opportunity in this city. And ensuring, of course, that we continue to invest in the things that make us great in order to continue to afford great opportunity in the city of Boston to everyone.
So that's a big systems level set of issues. What's the first or most important thing to tackle to get there, to open that pipeline of opportunity that you had to everybody?
There are a whole host of ways to tackle it, but I'm also not naive. We are in a crisis right now. We're dealing with several, I should say. One, of course, is COVID-19. And I continue to exercise leadership on our response there, pushing for the city of Boston, not only to mandate vaccination with, of course, some limited exceptions, but also incentivizing folks to get vaccinated, essentially what we're doing, what they're doing in New York City. We have yet to adopt that here. That is critically important. I live in Mattapan now where we have a low vaccination rate, and I want Boston to continue to lead the way when it comes to our COVID response. So more work to do there. The second is the opioid crisis at Mass and Cass. I refuse to believe that residents that are dealing with the crises as we're seeing there only get worse in the city of Boston, that they have to wait for the next mayoral election to get action from the acting mayor and the administration on those critical issues. And that isn't just about quality of life issues, of course, for those residents. It also is about the folks who are dealing with substance use disorder and homelessness that we have to help. And then lastly, we can close the gap when it comes to housing affordability, our Boston public schools, as well as, of course, economic opportunity generally. And I've put out some very thoughtful plans on how to do that with very specific things, which we'll never cover in 15 minutes, but very specific things that folks can, of course, visit at my website to learn a lot more.
Yes, and we will. We're going to dive into some of those issues that you just listed. I do want to start with COVID. I heard somebody say earlier in the pandemic, it's not just the elephant in the room, it's the room. And right now, it still feels like it is. Earlier this month, Acting Boston Mayor Kim Janey mandated that all city employees be vaccinated. You have said you called for such a mandate. You did it at the end of July. Is this a case of Acting Mayor Kim Janey was too late, or is this a case of better late than never? From your perspective,
she was too late and she's still late. And I want to stress that my pushing back on the acting mayor is about accountability and leadership. It's not personal. And so I continue to exercise the leadership, not only that's distinct from the acting mayor, but from every candidate. I have recognized that this Delta variant is causing severe cases of COVID, an uptick, including in the city of Boston. Our infection rate is going up. And we, of course, want to make sure our vaccination rate is going up. And we want to make sure we're protecting our residents. And so I've exercised leadership for months saying not only should city employees be required to get vaccinated or go through a regular testing, but that we should also push our employers and many others to do the same. And that the city of Boston has to put out guidelines on that. The acting mayor has yet to do that. And I'm also pushing the acting mayor and administration to do what New York City's doing, which is to offer incentives, of course, for folks to get vaccinated and require proof in crowded public indoor spaces, which is critical if we're going to stay ahead of the curve on these issues. And if we don't, we're going to set back our progress. And of course, that hinders our economic prosperity. And I don't want to see that happen in the city of Boston.
You've said it's not personal, the way you have criticized Acting Mayor Janey for how she's handled COVID, but it's been frequent and it's been targeted to the acting mayor. Has she done anything right in her handling of COVID since she took over the office? And if so, what?
It isn't personal. Just as when Marty was the mayor, I always, of course, held him accountable and I would hold anyone accountable. What distinctions I'm trying to make is that my leadership would be different. If I were in that role, I would have already instituted some of the vaccination mandates and mask requiring we're seeing New York City to protect our residents. When it comes to policing reform, I have been a leader on those issues long before I was a candidate for mayor. And then we have right now several cases where the acting mayor has missed significant deadlines and has not responded to public records requests. We just had our attorney general sue us to release records. That's unacceptable. These records would have been released under my leadership. We would have a department that's more transparent and accountable. And the mass and cast situation that is unfolding every single day would not be what it is. I released a plan back in January that has gotten no meaningful response from the administration or acting mayor, continuing to push for implementation of that while recognizing I can only do so much as a city councilor. The power of the mayor's office is significant to change and improve the lives of our residents. And so I'm pushing for those improvements while also holding everyone accountable for delivering what they say they're going to do.
All right, let's stay with mask and cast for a couple of minutes. Then you have an op-ed in the Boston Herald laying out again what you'd like to see done there. A couple of key things are appointing a mask and cast chief, a healthcare professional who would connect people and services. You've called restoring services on Long Island as important, even if that means using ferries. Why those measures?
These are what I heard will work from the stakeholders I engaged when I developed my plan. I engaged members of the previous mayor's task force. I engaged folks who are experiencing substance use disorder, hospitals, community-based health centers, recovery specialists, those who work in supportive housing. I engaged everyone to put forth ideas I knew would have an impact. And what has been extremely frustrating is that I put this plan out in January. I was the first candidate to put out such a plan. And there has been no action, a lot of rhetoric from the acting mayor and administration, but no action. And I stay up late at night getting the calls and the emails from folks who are finding needles in their parks, needles on the ground, and bodies on the street and tents going up in the city of Boston. And I grew up on Mass Ave, and I didn't have any of that growing up poor in this city. And I said, that's unacceptable in the city of Boston. So I'm pushing for implementation of my plan, which I know would have an immediate impact, and hoping that it happens before a mayoral election, because this cannot be political. It really has to be about action to address the other public health crisis that we're dealing with in the city of Boston.
So you also noted just now yourself, needles on the streets, bodies on the ground. You've mentioned feces that on doorsteps in the past. How do you manage the tensions? How does any mayor manage the tensions between providing services to people present in the area and the concerns of residents and businesses in the vicinity who are frustrated by the blight of this opioid crisis?
I think that tension is less so when the city of Boston takes leadership and exercises action, and exercises leadership, I should say, and action. I did several walkthroughs before I designed and drafted my plan. And I engaged businesses, residents, as well as those who were suffering with substance use disorder and homelessness. And what I learned is that everyone wants to do their part to help with that crisis, but they can't do it by themselves. The leadership must come from the mayor's office. We need a plan, we need transparency, and we need accountability. I have all of that in my plan, and I've even pushed for timelines. And if we exercise that leadership, it does not have to be an us versus them. I also talk about the fact that the state needs to step up as well and do its part, which I'm sure it will do with more advocacy, which I'm going to continue. But it doesn't have to be an us versus them. But the city of Boston must exercise leadership. Otherwise, this crisis will get worse quickly.
Okay, shifting gears, because there are a couple of other things I need to make sure we get to in our remaining time. No voting bloc is monolithic. Let's stipulate that. But I know you're also aware of concerns that in past elections, like Boston mayoral race 2013, Black candidates split the Black vote. WBUR politics reporter Anthony Brooks reported today, he's our senior political correspondent, on an effort to coalesce Black Bostonians around a single candidate before the preliminary election. That effort's called Wakanda 2, and they have endorsed acting Boston Mayor Kim Janey. You have come out against that type of organizing. Why?
I haven't come out against that organizing. There are actually many folks who participated in that process who are supporting me in this election. What I have said clearly is that the Black voters of the city of Boston are not a monolith, and that just because you have a Black candidate doesn't mean that Black voters will vote for that candidate. They, like every other voter in the city of Boston, want to know, who are you? What are you about? What have you done? And what will you do? So I'm taking my message not only to Black voters, of course, but to every resident in the city of Boston to say my lived experience is unique. And while it's painful and tragic, it's an opportunity for me to inform the work. And it's also informed the issues I've focused on, including housing affordability, policing reform, and of course, exercising leadership with respect to the public health crises we are dealing with in the city. And I have a long record of accomplishment on significant things. The Office of Police Accountability and Transparency, I drafted that legislation. Of course, putting out a plan to address mass and cast. Housing affordability, the Community Preservation Act was my first piece of legislation. It's generating $20 million every year, including for affordable housing. And the list and record of accomplishment is long and specific. That's the message I'm sharing with voters, along with my plans for the future, which is to make this city not only continue to be world-class, and to invest in our incredible ecosystem here, but to close the persistent gaps in education, our racial wealth gap, and so much more. That's the message that I want voters to respond to. I get out there to do the work to earn their support.
So you joined us on Radio Boston back in May after a Twitter exchange between you and the Boston Police Patrolmen's Association, in which they went after you personally, and you pushed back on them about the Patrick Rose case. You've mentioned police reform several times in this conversation. Your relationship with the union appears quite strained. You have policy positions that involve reducing funding for the police budget, among other things. If elected, will you be able to work effectively with the Boston Police Department?
Absolutely. I already have. And I think what folks don't recognize, I have relationships that run deep in the police department with current police officers, as well as those who have since retired. Because the work to transform this department, I've done in partnership with the unions and our officers, along with advocates and residents, my leadership on implementing body cameras. I had to go to court with Commissioner Evans at the time to make that happen. I worked with our police department to get that done. The Office of Police Accountability and Transparency, when pushing for the implementation of this legislation that I crafted in partnership with the previous mayor's task force, I worked with all of the unions and officers and had several working sessions. I've chaired the Committee on Public Safety and Criminal Justice for the council for almost 6 years. And in all of that work, I've gotten to know my captains, my superintendents, district captains, you name it. Officers doing the work and working in partnership. That won't change because the only way to actually implement these plans is to actually do it in partnership. And my public safety plan, which is the most specific out of any candidate in this race and truly pushes to transform our response in the city to public safety, to ensure every neighborhood is safe while investing in the root causes of violence, that plan was vetted by officers as well.
So, Counselor, I'm sorry, we have 30 seconds. So, in a sentence, last question to you. School starts September 9th. In a sentence, single most important thing to do to keep kids safe in school.
Mask up and vaccinations must be mandated.
All right. That is Boston City Councilor Andrea Campbell, who represents the city's 4th District. She and the other major candidates for mayor will join us for a debate on Thursday, September 9th. Councilor Campbell, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.